KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Clinton Street Theater's virtual screening of The Last Tree. The Last Tree follows a British boy of Nigerian descent who becomes reunited with his biological mother. The film explores his struggle with the unfamiliar culture and values while learning what it means to be a young black man in London. Again, that's the Clinton Street Theater's virtual screening of The Last Tree. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Welcome to An Islamic Point of View, a production of the Muslim Community Center of Portland and this station. Today, we bring you part two of Pete Seda's book Islam Is, read by Sister Aisha Lorenz Al-Sayed.
Islam Is, an introduction to Islam and its principles. The purpose of this work is to present the authentic teachings of Islam. We do not present any specific version or a unique interpretation of Islam. We present Islam as it is, without sugarcoating, and we allow it to stand on its own merits. There's only one Islam and only one example of how it is to be lived, that of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Our intention is to provide a basic overview of the main tenets of Islam as given in the Quran and as exemplified by the Prophet. We also intend to address some of the commonly asked questions about Islam. Despite the fact that over one-third of the world's population is Muslim, Islam is often misunderstood and misrepresented in contemporary Western societies. It's hoped that this work will shed light on Islam as it was divinely communicated to Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and dispel any commonly held misconceptions that perpetuate prejudice and hatred. We write this booklet in the hope that people of all faiths will join us in making this world a world of tolerance, kindness, understanding, and peace. Belief in Divine Decree. Allah, in His timelessness, knows everything that goes on in His creation. From the perspective of temporal beings like us, this means that Allah, the ever-watching, knows everything that happened in the past, everything that is now taking place, and everything that will happen in the future. Allah's divine knowledge is perfect. Allah is the all-knowing, and all that He knows will come to pass. Allah, the subduer, has absolute sovereignty over His creation. Everything that exists within His creation and every event that occurs is a direct result of His creating it. Nothing happens in creation except by His power, His will, and His knowledge. The free will of the human being. An important aspect of Islam is that every human being has the free will to choose between right and wrong. Allah, the giver, has honored humanity with this great gift. It comes with heavy responsibility, and on the day of judgment we will be accountable for our use of this gift. Human free will does not in any way contradict the fact that Allah, the witness, knows everything that will ever occur in creation. Someone might ask, if Allah knows that I am going to commit a sin tomorrow, then it is unavoidable that I do so, because Allah's knowledge is infallible, and what Allah knows will come to pass. Allah's knowledge of this person's decision does not mean that he or she is being forced to make that decision. Human free will does not in any way contradict Allah's absolute sovereignty over everything in creation. Neither does it contradict the fact that nothing happens in creation except what Allah wills. Some might say, "Therefore, I have no free will. My free will is but an illusion." On the contrary, Allah created within each of us the ability to formulate an intention. Allah wants us to be able to make our own choices. When a person makes a choice, Allah, by His divine will, creates the actions and circumstances that allow the person's intention to be carried out. It is Allah's will that human beings have free will. Allah is not always pleased with the decisions people make, but He wants them to be able to make these decisions by their own free choice. An example of this is a person's will to do a good deed. The good deed may never be carried out, but Allah may reward the person for his or her intention to do a good deed. If the good deed comes to pass, Allah's will allowed it to take place, and Allah will reward both the intention and the action. In other words, Allah, the judge, may reward you for good deeds willed but not carried out. However, He does not punish people for bad intentions not acted upon. There is no compulsion in religion. From this emphasis on free will, it follows that Islam can only be accepted by free choice. The purpose of human life is to worship Allah of one's own free will. Therefore, matters of faith have value only if they are accepted on the basis of freedom of choice. If a person is coerced into accepting any religion, that acceptance is false and has no value. Allah, the Gentle, says, "There is no compulsion in religion. Truth stands out clear from error. Whoever rejects evil and believes in Allah has grasped the most trustworthy handhold that never breaks. And Allah hears and knows all things." Quran chapter 2. Verse 256. The five pillars of Islam. There are five obligatory acts of worship that every Muslim must dutifully carry out. Failure to do so is a grave sin. The edifice of Islam rests upon these five pillars. One cannot be considered a Muslim if he or she denies that any one of these acts is obligatory. The five obligations of Muslims are as follows. First, the declaration of faith, to testify that nothing deserves worship but Allah and that Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, is his messenger. That is called the Shahada. Second, to pray five times a day, which is called Salah. Third, to pay the yearly alms, which is Zakah. Fourth, to fast during the month of Ramadan, which is Sawm. Fifth, to make the pilgrimage to Mecca, which is Hajj. The Declaration of Faith, Shahada. It is obligatory for every person intending to enter Islam to believe and to say, "I testify that nothing deserves worship but Allah and that Muhammad is his messenger." With this simple, important, and powerful declaration, a person is considered a Muslim. There is no initiation into the fold of Islam. The concepts within the testimony of faith can be explained by analyzing each of three parts within the testimony. The first part, nothing, is a negation of polytheism. It's a negation of the existence of any deity other than Allah, or any entity that shares in any of the divine attributes of Allah. The second part, but Allah, is an affirmation of monotheism. Allah is the only one worthy of worship. Muhammad is Allah's messenger is the third part of the declaration of faith. It is an affirmation of the prophethood of Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, as the final prophet and messenger of Allah. This requires the unconditional acceptance of the Quran and the authentic sayings and traditions of Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. By believing and saying the testimony of faith, a person rejects all false objects of worship and asserts that Allah is the only one to be worshipped. Allah is without equal or partner. Allah promises that once a person affirms and sincerely says, I testify that nothing deserves worship but Allah, and that Muhammad is his messenger, all of his or her previous sins are forgiven. One's previous good deeds may also be rewarded by Allah, the most forgiving. Praying 5 times a day. Salah. It is required for every Muslim to perform 5 obligatory prayers a day. A Muslim turns towards Mecca when performing these prayers, facing the first house built for the worship of the One, Allah. This house is called the Kaaba, an empty cube-like structure which is located in what is now Saudi Arabia. It was erected by Abraham, peace be upon him, and his son Ishmael, peace be upon him, for the worship of the One, Allah. One must remember that Islam does not have any sacred relics or symbols. We are not worshipping the Kaaba. We simply worship Allah while facing the Kaaba. Facing the Kaaba to pray unifies the worshippers in their prayer to the One, Allah. Anyone who worships the Kaaba or any other created thing would be considered an idol worshipper. To put it plainly, the building materials that make up this house are no more sacred than any other building materials. These prayers take place throughout the day and night and are a constant reminder of a person's duty and surrender to Allah. The prayers are a direct link between the worshipper and Allah. It is a chance to turn to Allah in worship, to give thanks, to ask for forgiveness, and to ask for His guidance and mercy. A Muslim may voluntarily perform prayers more often. Prayers, in the general sense of supplication, can be offered practically at any time or place. Paying the yearly alms, zakah. It is a religious duty for every Muslim who is prosperous enough to accumulate and retain a sufficient amount of savings to give a portion of his or her wealth to the needy each year. These alms are called zakah in Arabic, which literally means purification. All things belong to Allah, the Most Merciful, and wealth is held in trust by human beings. Paying these alms is a way for people who are financially able to purify the ethically gained wealth that Allah has bestowed upon them. In addition, it is a means to directly distribute wealth throughout society and help the poor and needy. Zakah, alms, also purifies the soul of the giver, reduces greed, and strengthens compassion and generosity among humanity. The basic rate of these alms is 2.5% of the wealth that has been held in savings for an entire year. These alms are also levied on savings. Zakah, 2.5%, is also due on the lunar yearly income over nisab, which is income wealth that a family needs to live a simple but decent life for a lunar year. Fasting during Ramadan. Sawm. A physically able adult Muslim must fast during the lunar month of Ramadan. The Quran says, O you who believe, fasting is prescribed to you as it was prescribed to those before you, that you may learn self-restraint. Chapter 2, verse 183. This month is significant because the first revelations of the Quran to Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, occurred during this month. Since a year in the lunar calendar is 11 days shorter than the solar calendar, the month of Ramadan gradually passes through all seasons of the year. Just as almsgiving is a form of wealth purification, fasting is a form of self-purification. Fasting begins at dawn and ends at sunset, local time. During daylight hours, a fasting person must abstain from food, drink, and marital sexual intercourse. These activities are permissible from sunset to the following dawn. Fasting teaches self-control and patience. Like prayer, fasting is a way of turning to Allah in sincere worship. The two holidays for Muslims are Eid al-Fitr, which is celebrated at the end of Ramadan, and Eid al-Adha, which is celebrated at the end of Hajj. Fasting reminds us of the conditions of the needy and gives us appreciation for the simple blessings we often take for granted, such as drinking a glass of pure water or eating food at will. Making the pilgrimage to Mecca, Hajj. Every Muslim is to make the pilgrimage to Mecca once in a lifetime, if he or she has the ability and means to do so. Muslims from all over the world gather together for the purpose of worshipping and pleasing Allah alone. Millions of pilgrims visit the Kaaba and perform Hajj annually. The rite of Hajj originated from the Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, and was restored by Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. The pilgrimage to Mecca compels the pilgrims to break down the racial, economic, and social barriers that may still plague their societies. It also invites each pilgrim to practice patience, self-restraint, and piety. The pilgrims wear simple garments that strip away the distinctions of class and culture. Each of these obligatory acts of worship keeps the remembrance of Allah alive and reminds all Muslims that from Allah we come and to Allah we all return.
You have been listening to Islam Is here on Islamic Point of View. Islam is an introduction to Islam written by our local community member, Brother Pete Seda. Reading today by Sister Aisha Lorenz al-Said. We want to continue today's program with a question commonly asked regarding the Qadr, divine decree, versus human free will. This is Muhammad Gilan on the nature of Qadr in Islam.
They say that the thief was going to get that money if they waited. Assalamu alaikum. How can we reconcile between destiny and free will? I can answer it like the way that Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu answered it. A man came to him and asked him the very same question that you're asking. And he said to the man, stand up, raise one foot, raise one leg up. Now raise the other one. Reconciliation between free will and destiny is in that middle state that you have in which you can't raise the other foot, the other leg up and stay and remain standing. The way to think about free will and destiny, this is, by the way, don't let this delude you into thinking that we're going to give like big answers and short kind of YouTube videos here. I'm just going to give you some ideas. But free will and destiny and all of these are very long subjects that people do lengthy studies that spend lifetimes looking at this stuff. If you just go through the Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy, just put free will and see what you get. Like, it's just a lengthy thing. Different schools, different, and same thing with the Islamic tradition. Go through the Islamic tradition. Many people have talked about it. And this subject has occupied the minds of Muslims for a long time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ahzab, إِنَّا عَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ فَأَبَيْنَا أَن يَحْمِلْنَهَا وَأَشْفَقْنَ مِنْهَا. That we have presented the trust to the heavens, the earth, the mountains, in other words, to everything in existence. That's really what that's about. It's to everything. We presented this trust. فَأَبَيْنَا أَن يَحْمِلْنَهَا. They all rejected it. They said, nope, I don't think so. وَأَشْفَقْنَ مِنْهَا. And they were even fearful of the prospect of what is this power. It was just, once they got a taste of it through being questioned that, would you like this? So they had a taste, they already got a taste of what this trust is, and they felt the immensity of it, and they said no. وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ. But the human being took it. إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. Verily, certainly, the human being is such an oppressive, ignorant creature. And the scholars, when they talk about what is the amana, they said it's the ability to choose to follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and abstain from His prohibitions. That's, you have a choice in that. Nobody's forcing you to be a Muslim or to do the halal and abstain from the haram. Nobody's forcing you to fast Ramadan and to pray the five daily prayers. Or nobody's forcing you to do these things. You have the total free will to do them. And in fact, if you're forced, they're not accepted. So for those who think that by having some theocracy, they can finally get the Sharia and all of this, once you start forcing people in that fashion, that is not genuine. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا إكراه في الدين قد تبين الرشد من الغي. In Surah Al-Baqarah, he says, there is no compulsion in religion. Truth from falsehood have become discerned, clarified. So now everybody knows what to do. Now, when it comes to destiny and free will, destiny is just all of the external factors that you have no control over, yet they have an impact upon the outcome of the things that you want to do. That's what destiny is, in a way to think about it. And free will is your personal intent, right? Your intentions to do particular actions based on the external circumstances that you feel you have the illusion of feeling you have control over. So how do you do this practically? You have no power over, you didn't have a say over who your parents are, who your family is, what background you come from, which country you live in from when you were, basically when you were born and brought up. You have no power over any of this stuff. You have no power over, you didn't decide which school you started in. And now research shows, if you go look into how people end up in particular positions and trace back like all of the different environmental circumstances and factors that came together that put them in the right position and in the right network and in the right environment with the right people so that they can finally become the thing that they've become now, you'll see that actually you had no power over any of this stuff. That's what it means that it's all written. You know, to believe in the divine decree. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already determined all of this stuff. What do you have control over? You have control over, okay, so how do I go about the unfolding of my life, which will unfold and I will get what's coming to me anyways. So for example, nobody on this planet in existence will get more than the sustenance that was already written for them. More concrete example. If you're meant to make, let's just say, random number, $10 million throughout your life, that was like, that's all the money you're ever gonna make. Know for a sure, for a fact, that you're not going to leave this planet, you're not going to leave this dunya until you get every last cent of it. That's what it means that you're gonna make, it's already written for you. So what's the question then? The question is about, well, how do I go about getting this $10 million? If I already know that I'm not going to leave before making every last cent of it. So what do I need to do? Well, you have a couple of choices. You either observe the Sharia and just recognize that cheating people is impermissible. Doing questionable transactions that oppress and transgress, oppress people and transgress the sacred law is impermissible. Once you know these things and recognize that, well, I'm definitely not going to leave before I make every last cent of it, I'm going to abstain from the haram. And I'm just going to go about my life and try to seek out the halal in to my capacity and direct my energy, this energy that I have, which I think falsely, I'm deluded into thinking that I'm standing on my own. You're not standing on your own. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making you stand up and giving you the power. The question is, where do you direct it? That's where free will comes in. So you're not going to, let's see, you could do really well in your exam, right? There are two ways of doing really well in your exam. You could try to start a cheating ring and figure a way to slip some answers in or hack the system or do whatever. And you could do really well that way. So externally, it appears to everybody that you rocked it. Or you could spend your days and nights studying, struggling, going through your material, making sure you know it, and then do well. Either way, the score that you were going to get was the score that you were going to get. You had no final say in that particular score. The question was, how did you go about doing these things? Because the fact is, you could study really hard and do everything really well, and then the day off, something happens. I remember this like yesterday, and I still have nightmares about this. And this was way back in the day. I was doing calculus in my senior year in high school, grade 12. And at the time, I thought I was really good at this stuff, and I was doing really well at the time. And the exam comes in, and it was on logarithms. I remember this like so vividly. And I studied, and I did all the exercises, and did all the activities, and like I got this. So I go in, and as soon as I sit down, Mrs. Wood comes in, and she gives me my exam paper. I look at this stuff, and it was like blank slate. To me, it all looked like gibberish. I had no idea what was going on in that paper. My mind completely blocked. I don't know what happened. So that's not my doing. I've done my, and alhamdulillah, things turned out well eventually. At the time, I was devastated. I bombed that test and I had a second chance at it and stuff. But just at the time, like, okay, so clearly I've done all of the things that I'm supposed to do, but for whatever reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has determined that brain of yours that's getting to your head a little bit, and you think you're all that and you're all smart. Well, let me just strip you from that for just, you know, a couple of hours during exam time when you really need it. See how you do then. So that's where it comes in, like this interaction between free will. And whenever I see, whenever I'm presented with situations, whenever you're presented with situations, the question that should go through your mind is, the outcome will always be the outcome. I don't have control over the outcome. In fact, if you look through a lot of the free will talk and articles and things, a lot of people are talking about the outcome itself. But free will is not about the outcome. And it's not really free, because you're constricted with all of these different things. It's about you being presented with a situation and knowing that it's divine decree. It's going to happen. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And to be at peace with that. Not to have this attachment that I'm going to control the outcome. You're not going to control it. You're going to control what your intent is, how you direct that energy, right? And wherever it ends up, it ends up. What you're going to live with is how much effort did you put into it? How did you direct it? Did you transgress the law or not? These are the things that really matter in life, because ultimately, when we all pass away, we go into our graves shrouded in a white cloth with nothing from this dunya. Like even that $10 million you're going to make throughout your lifetime, and you're not going to leave with that without finally earning the last cent of it and breathing your final breath that was allotted to you. When you go into your grave, you're not taking any of it with you. So the question you should ask yourself is, okay, keep in mind that you're only here temporarily. How do you go about your life? What choices are you going to make? You know, they say that the thief was going to get that money if they waited, and if they sought it through permissible means. Instead, they didn't. And that's what makes greed, the anxiety over poverty, all of these things problematic. If you don't have, that's why you need to have, that's why it's one of the pillars of faith, belief in the divine decree. Because if you don't believe in that, you will start to go through your life and about your life in all kinds of questionable ways. Just some ideas for you. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
You've been listening to An Islamic Point of View here on KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. If you've benefited from today's program, please consider donation to the Muslim Community Center of Portland at mccpdx.org and to this station at kboo.fm. Stay tuned next week for part 3 of Islam Is, and up next with Pathways. Thank you for listening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at
KBOO.fm. My name is S.J. Oxendine, and on behalf of myself and KBOO, I'd like to invite you to start listening for KBOO's Late Night Blue Jazz program.